Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and put our hands together for the UEFA Champions League, widely regarded as the world's best club football competition. First leg round of 16 action continues later Wednesday evening with matches in Portugal and Spain. In Portugal, FC Porto is at home against Juventus of Italy, and in Spain, Sevilla will host Leicester City, the surprising winner of last year's English Premier League trophy. In results Tuesday, 2016 UEFA Champions League runners-up Atletico Madrid of Spain traveled to Germany and beat Bayer Leverkusen 4-2. French strikers Antoine Griezmann and Kevin Gamero were danger men for Atletico during the match. Griezmann scored in the 25th minute, and Gamero scored off a penalty kick in the 59th minute. Saul opened the scoring for Atletico Madrid in the 17th minute, and another Spanish player, Fernando Torres, sealed the victory with a goal in the 86th minute. Karim Bellarabi had a goal for Bayer Leverkusen in the 48th minute, and an own goal by Atletico's Montenegrin defender Stefan Savic in the 68th minute completed the German club scoring. Atletico Madrid is now in good position to advance to the quarterfinals with the second leg match on March 15th in Spain. In what's being described as an epic 8-goal thriller Tuesday, Manchester City defeated visiting Monaco 5-3. Man City was facing a first leg deficit when Monaco's Colombian captain, Radamel Falcao, scored his second goal of the match with a beautiful chip shot in the 61st minute to put the French club ahead 3-2. But in a frantic finish, Man City responded with three goals in 11 minutes. Argentine striker Sergio Aguero volleyed in a 71st minute equalizer for his second goal of the night. John Stones scored off a corner kick in the 77th minute, and Leroy Sane pushed Man City further ahead with a tap-in in the 82nd minute. Final score from Manchester, England, Manchester City 5, Monaco 3. At the post-match news conference, Man City's Spanish manager Pep Guardiola said he was delighted with the result.
We're still alive, and especially for the performance for that guys, for most of them is the first experience in Champions League. These kind of things maybe help for this club to achieve another step. Because you know my opinion about that, so Monaco has more history in Champions League than us, and you have to leave this kind of situation, to be in trouble, to overcome that situation, to get in better, to be a better club, a better team, and a huge compliment for the players to be there. Don't give up, never, and to be there. That's why we are still alive.
Manchester City is still alive after a wild Champions League match full of dazzling attacking play and dreadful defending. Guardiola was asked by one reporter if he was angry with his club's defending.
Guys, we attack in smaller spaces and we defend huge spaces out behind. That's why the people contact me to come here. I love to play in that way when I think it's a good, something special for the football. When two teams want to play in that way, attack and attack, at the end the football is marvelous. So I think everybody has to congratulate. Today we are a little bit happier than my colleague, than Monaco. But of course, it's 2-0, we are out. And of course, that team, if one team can score 1,000 million goals, is Monaco. they play in that way. They will attack more and more, and you have to defend better, and we have our chances. I am pretty sure of that. We are going to fly to Monaco to score goals as much as possible. That is my target. So we are not going to defend the result, especially in that situation. Now we know each other better, and we are going to adjust something. They are going to adjust something, because in Champions League, the second game is always like this. But we have to go there to score goals. It's impossible to go through, to go to next step if we don't score a goal. If we don't score a goal, we'll be eliminated.
Manchester City Football Club manager Pep Guardiola speaking Tuesday after Man City's 5-3 victory over visiting Monaco in the UEFA Champions League. Monaco will host Man City March 15th in the decisive second leg of their round of 16 encounter. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America. VOA.
This is The Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Argentina and Barcelona football star Lionel Messi arrived in Egypt Tuesday to promote a hepatitis C initiative. Messi posted a photo of himself at his Facebook page. The bearded Messi is dressed in a nice suit and tie, and in the background, you can see the Great Pyramid of Giza. Writing on his Facebook page, Messi said, and I quote, "Medication against hepatitis C saves lives. Let's put an end to the waiting lists." Lionel Messi is a world ambassador for Tour and Cure, a program that offers treatment for hepatitis C patients from all over the world. One of my Egyptian colleagues told me before the show that Egypt has one of the highest rates in the world of hepatitis C, which, according to the World Health Organization, is responsible for up to 500,000 deaths every year.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
The National Basketball Association resumes its regular season Thursday night after a one-week break. The NBA's best players were in the southern U.S. city of New Orleans recently for the league's 66th annual All-Star Game, but most NBA players have used the time off to rest and relax for the final stretch of the season. The league's 30 clubs each have between 25 and 27 games left before the NBA playoffs tip off. Taking a quick look at the NBA's top three scorers, well, they're all guards. Russell Westbrook of the Oklahoma City Thunder leads at more than 31 points each game. Isaiah Thomas of the Boston Celtics is next at 29.9 points per game. And James Harden of the Houston Rockets, who sports my favorite beard in basketball, is third at 29.2 points per game. I asked Dan Friedel of the Voice of America's Learning English Department if the NBA scoring leaders indicate how guard-oriented the league has become.
I mean, you go back to the days of Bill Russell and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Hakeem Olajuwon. We had all these tall players setting the standard. Shaquille O'Neal, Tim Duncan, those kinds of players setting the standard in the NBA. And now you have guys like Harden and Westbrook. You have an extremely athletic player like Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis is a great story. His family immigrated to Greece from Nigeria. He was born in Greece, and people call him the Greek Freak.
The Greek Freak. I like that.
He's almost 7 feet tall, but he plays with a smaller man's style. He can handle the ball coming up the court, make good passes. He's a good shooter. He's really an outstanding all-around player. Looking at the stats here, he's got 22 double-doubles on the season, and a double-double means having at least 10 points and 10 rebounds or 10 points and 10 assists in the game. He's a great guy to watch. And another player who has this ability to play up and down the floor, all parts of the game, is Anthony Davis from the New Orleans Pelicans. Davis was an outstanding player in college, and he's transitioned to the NBA pretty well. He has 36 double-doubles on the season. He's averaging 27, almost 28 points per game and 12 rebounds per game. But he's still way behind Harden and Westbrook. Harden has had a rejuvenated season. I mean, he's already a young guy, so not to say rejuvenated per se, but he's thriving in the new system in Houston. Almost 30 points a game and 11 assists and almost 10 rebounds. He's having an outstanding season too. So I wouldn't say that some of these star players that we're used to seeing, like Steph Curry and James and Kevin Durant, are passing the torch, but it looks like the cabinet is full for the future. These guys who are getting a little bit older, LeBron, I mean, he's still relatively young, but he's got a lot of mileage playing six consecutive NBA finals. He's going to be a great player for a number of years still to come. But one of the things that Cleveland Cavaliers fans are worried about is that he's playing too many minutes if the Cavs are going to make a run through the playoffs. Tyronn Lue, the Cavs coach, is going to have to figure out a way for him to rest a little bit. That's going to be a hard thing because one of their other best players, also an all-star level player, Kevin Love, injured his knee and he's going to be out for a while. So the Cavs, even though they're the first place team in the Eastern Conference, have some questions ahead for them. It'll be interesting to see how they manage the next 30 games or so.
Dan, with Kevin Love out of the lineup, at least for now, how do you think that affects Cleveland's chances to repeat as NBA champions?
Well, it's one of those things that's like a blessing and a curse, right? I mean, the Cavs might not finish with the best record in the East. Right now, they're a couple games ahead of the Boston Celtics and our local team just across the mall. At the Verizon Center, the Washington Wizards, they're having an amazing season after having a really rough start. I think they only won two or three out of their first 10 or 11 games. Now they're 34-21. They've won 9 out of 10. The only game that they've lost out of those 10 was this outrageous overtime game that they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Great game. Maybe the best regular season game so far.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the Cleveland-Washington game was outstanding. And the fact that the Wizards didn't win that game was a big shocker, because the last play of the game with a couple seconds left, LeBron got the ball, took a step back. Some people thought he might have been out of bounds, but he launched a shot and off the backboard and in to tie the game with a three-pointer. And then the other shocking thing in that game was that LeBron fouled out early in the overtime, and the Cavs, Kyrie Irving, Tristan Thompson, players like that, managed to get the win. But the Cavs, you know, going forward, there's no doubt that they're one of the best teams in the East. They'll probably be able to handle these other teams in the playoffs. I don't know if it's especially relevant if they finish the regular season with the number one or number two seed. The good thing is that you have a player like Kevin Love. If he can come back from his knee surgery, he'll be fresh. So the main thing really is to see, well, maybe they just decide they're going to give LeBron some more time off. And if they lose a couple games here and there, it's not the end of the world. As long as they're fresh in May, you know, Late April, May, and June, that's what counts.
You mentioned that shot by LeBron that forced overtime here in Washington, Dan. Does that get your pick as shot of the season so far?
Oh, for sure. I mean, last year everybody was talking about the Steph Curry three-pointer that he made as the game was running out to beat Oklahoma City in a big game. He shot it just on the other side of half court. That game looked like the Wizards had won. The Wizards had just made a great shot to go ahead by three. And, you know, some people were saying, oh, whoever gets the ball for Cleveland, they just need to foul him before he takes the shot. Then he'll only get two free throws. But what happened was Kevin Love made a great pass all the way down the court, put it high up in the air like a quarterback throwing to a wide receiver. LeBron was the only guy who could get the ball. And he turned around. He made an amazing shot. It's for sure the best shot of the year.
You mentioned those magical Wizards, Dan. And I know you follow the Cleveland teams, but I do show my allegiance to the Wizards. They're being coached this season by Scott Brooks, who formerly coached Kevin Durant and James Harden with the Oklahoma City Thunder. How much credit do you give Coach Brooks with this turnaround by the Wizards?
Well, you have to give him a ton of credit. The team started off slow. There were a lot of comments about whether the Wizards bench players were going to make any contribution this year at all. One of the starting players, Marcin Gortat, was saying, we have the worst bench in the NBA.
That's right.
The Polish hammer doesn't hold back when he makes his comments. Now the Wizards' top five players, their starting five players, Gortat, Bradley Beal, John Wall, Markieff Morris, and
Otto Porter.
Otto Porter, they're all averaging double figures. Porter is the number one three-point shooter in the NBA. Brooks's system is obviously working. It's such an exciting team to watch, and I've been at a number of the games, and it's a great atmosphere.
Dan, my magical Washington Wizards will travel north to Philadelphia for their next game on Friday night when they play the Philadelphia 76ers. And thanks to Dan Friedel of the VOA's Learning English Department for sharing his NBA insights with us. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty midweek greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you.
Sporty midweek greetings to you. Welcome back. What's trending in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, we talked about the NBA All-Star Game late last week, and that happened over the weekend, and we're preparing now for the NBA to go back into games. And there's some new additions and moves that have gone on in the past couple days that we're looking forward to when the NBA resumes play tomorrow. Perhaps the biggest name and the biggest move that we've been talking about yesterday into today is Magic Johnson. The basketball great has been named president of basketball operations for the Los Angeles Lakers, where he played for many years. So a big move for their front office, raising a lot of hopes among Lakers fans that these are going to be the magic years. A lot of rebuilding. Hoping
the magic years.
A lot of magic puns going on social media, but hoping for some rebuilding after some struggles that they've had. A lot of fans noticing, too, this isn't the first time that a basketball great has been moved to the front office of an organization. A lot of people noting that Larry Bird is the president of basketball operations for the Indiana Pacers, a team that he's associated with. And Danny Ainge, president of operations for the Boston Celtics. In fact, those three players, Magic Johnson, Danny Ainge, and Larry Bird, having some pictures sent around from their playing days, all three of them in one shot when they were playing on the court in their heyday. And people noting now all three of them are presidents of basketball operations for these teams.
Wow.
Another person tweeting out and saying, you have the potential now that Magic Johnson and Larry Bird will be negotiating trades against and with each other. So just trying to wrap their heads around that is something that fans are taking some time to process, but very excited about.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. I mentioned earlier in the show that Lionel Messi photo in front of the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt. Well, that photo is definitely trending. One of our Voice of America listeners in Freetown, Sierra Leone, Manikapio Kabia Yusuf, he saw the Messi photo and responded simply, great hero. Great hero indeed, Lionel Messi. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, we also saw out of the NBA, and on that note with Lionel Messi, you don't necessarily have to be in front of the pyramids to have an image or video trend. Sometimes you can just be in a press conference. And that's what we saw post All-Star game from DeMarcus Cousins, the center who was with the Sacramento Kings at the time. He's now been announced that he's been traded to the New Orleans Pelicans. But what's interesting about this viral video that we see of DeMarcus Cousins is that he's about to give a little press conference post All-Star game, and his agent comes up to him, whispers in his ear, and DeMarcus Cousins goes, "Oh, really?" And his agent whispers to him again. And apparently, according to reporters, that was the moment that his agent told him he had been traded or was going to be traded from the Sacramento Kings to the New Orleans Pelicans. Mm. So we saw that moment happen on video in front of all these reporters. And I think the agent was trying to brief him and say, heads up, you might get some questions about this. There's a trade in the works or you're going to be traded. Just giving him kind of the heads up. Now, what's interesting about this, the first question that DeMarcus Cousins takes, he's asked to sum up his All-Star experience. He smiles and he says, "I enjoyed the city of New Orleans. I love it here in New Orleans." And he smiles and gives a look to his agent. So that's a little bit of a hint there that he knew that he was going to be traded to the Pelicans and maybe was happy about it. So that video has gone viral now as the moment when he realized that he was going to be traded.
As I mentioned on yesterday's show, Andrew, Cousins will now be teaming up with one of the big heroes of the recent NBA All-Star game, Anthony Davis, in the front court for New Orleans. That could be a potent duo, Cousins and Davis.
You know, that might have been another reason why he was smiling, especially after Anthony Davis's performance in the All-Star game, those 52 points. Maybe DeMarcus Cousins has a lot to smile about, not just the city of New Orleans, but the team as well.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, from the NBA, we move now to baseball, and a big announcement that seems to be coming soon from Facebook and Major League Baseball. The two organizations are in talks to apparently live stream one Major League Baseball game per week during this upcoming baseball season. Talks are still going on. There's still a lot of question marks about what this exactly will mean, but the reports look favorable that this deal will come through. And as we talked about last week, this isn't the first time Facebook's done the deal with Liga MX to show their soccer matches, the Mexican soccer matches on Facebook. Other social media outlets like Twitter have partnered with the NFL. So this is kind of the new frontier we're seeing with social media and sports. It's kind of moved from TV, from the computer even, now to people watching it on these social networks, on their phones, on other electronic devices. The hope, a lot of people speculate, is that Major League Baseball will draw in a younger audience, audience that lives on social media. So that's their hope. And again, this is really the future of sports. This is what people are looking towards. So again, a lot of question marks, a lot of questions yet to be answered, but another big step forward in how we watch sports and consume sports.
What about the length of Major League Baseball games, Andrew? I know Major League Baseball has been criticized sometimes. Some of these games, especially if they go extra innings, can last 4, maybe 5 hours. Will someone stay in front of their computer for that long to watch a game on a Facebook live stream?
You know, that's one of the big questions a lot of people have been asking. Will people sit there and watch it? Will they just kind of pop in and out? How they'll do advertising, which is a big deal for these sports leagues, how they can incorporate that into social media. But actually, on that point, another trending story today is Major League Baseball is announcing that they're going to have a signal for intentional walks. Right now, if you want to intentionally walk a batter, you have to throw 4 balls to walk them. They're just going to have a signal that the manager can give instead. A lot of people joking about this, saying, "Wow, they sped up the game by a whole 1 second by doing that."
Well, I better give you a signal now, Andrew. We're winding down. Any last second sports trends?
I got to mention this at the last second. Trending today, the Miracle on Ice. 37 years ago today, the U.S. hockey team beat the USSR in the Winter Olympics in Lake Placid, New York. Huge sports upset, great win for American hockey, a team made up of amateurs playing professional Russian hockey players. And that famous Al Michaels quote, "Do you believe in miracles?" trending across social media today in that video.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the February 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Speaking at the National Prayer Breakfast, President Donald Trump said our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God. One fundamental freedom, freedom of religion, includes the freedom to worship according to one's own beliefs. Freedom of religion is a sacred right, said President Trump, but it is also a right under threat all around us, and the world is under serious, serious threat in so many different ways. We have seen unimaginable violence carried out in the name of religion, acts of wanton slaughter against religious minorities, horrors on a scale that defy description. Terrorism is a fundamental threat to religious freedom. It must be stopped, and it will be stopped. We have seen peace-loving Muslims brutalized, victimized, murdered, and oppressed by Islamic State terrorists. We have seen threats of extermination against the Jewish people. We have seen a campaign of ISIS and genocide against Christians, where they cut off heads, said President Trump. All nations have a moral obligation to speak out against such violence. All nations have a duty to work together to confront it and to confront it viciously if we have to, said President Trump. The United States will do everything in its power to defend and protect religious liberty in our land. America must forever remain a tolerant society, said President Trump, where all faiths are respected and where all our citizens can feel safe and secure. As long as our liberty, and in particular our religious liberty, is allowed to flourish, said President Trump, America will flourish.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at voanews.com/editorials.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, U.S. President Donald Trump has made his first phone calls to African heads of state, speaking with Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari and South African President Jacob Zuma. An in-depth discussion on the expectations of the president's engagement with Africa. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at UpfrontAfrica.